This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right, this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Before we begin, I'd just like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land that we are broadcasting from, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations, and pay my deepest respects to their elders past, present, future and emerging, and to the LGBTI Indigenous community. This land was never ceded, and there has never been no treaty, and always was, always will be Aboriginal land. That was Untouched by the Veronicas, just picked by one of our guests tonight. We've got so many guests packed in this studio and it's very exciting. Anyway, my name's Ruby.
And I'm Anthony. And we've got a big show lined up tonight.
We really do. We're doing a showcase of some of the incredible bi women performing at the Fringe Festival. We've got some shows starting out. We've got some returning guests because their shows come back, which is brilliant. You just can't get rid of the bis. We're just everywhere. And so I'm just... You can tell I'm really excited, but we are joined by Mia and is it Aaron and Sam?
Aaron and Annabelle this time.
Yes. We got Sam last time. But this time we've managed to over the places get all three, and one of us you've come on twice.
Yes, I've now been here twice. You absolutely cannot get rid of me at this stage.
Yes, you're in. We don't pay very well. And Mia is doing a comedy lecture called Speaking of Which, The Science of Conversation, which is debuting this year. But we're going to jump into the shows in a few secs. So, ladies, what we usually do to start the show is firstly to say if you want to join the conversation, you can message us on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can find us on all the social medias.
Yes.
With varying frequencies.
Yes, absolutely. And if you want to catch any of our past podcasts, get on there and listen. We had some really great shows in the last month, and particularly this month, which is Biovisibility Month. We're leading up to the 23rd of September, Biovis Day.
2 weeks away.
And we've got an event on that day, Ruby.
That's right. So the Melbourne Bisexual Network and the BiAlliance of Victoria, which is the two organisations in Victoria that happen to be run by Anthony, James and myself, are hosting a picnic for Celebrate Bisexuality Day and Bivisibility Day on the 23rd in the Treasury Gardens from 1. You can find it on our Facebook page, at Bypass Joy.
Please come down and say hello. And if you're a bisexual, pansexual, multi-gender attracted person and you've never been in a space full of other bi people, it's a bit of a buzz, so come and say hello to us.
It's real fun. It's real good, I promise. Now, to jump in, as I was saying, well, off air, to Erin and Mia, we usually start the show by going through just a few news items that have come up for bisexual news. I follow that religiously on Google. So the first one was actually based on an article I read on SBS, which is Reimagining Role Models in the Workplace for Bi Women by Chanel Milani, because it was talking about a recent study that came out about where old women, looking at low visibility engagement with same-sex attracted women in the workplace, found that 30 bisexual women were about half as likely to be out in the workplace as lesbians. So we're looking at about 38% of bi women. And so the study also showed that there was the smallest gap in being out at work versus out outside of work. So 43% were out, not out at all to anybody. And so, which is very close to the percentage who weren't out at work. While with lesbians, a lot more of them would be out outside of work if they weren't out at work. And that phrases like attention-seeking, confused, promiscuous and greedy were responses that had come up at their workplaces around stereotypes, and that a fear of being judged and a lack of understanding were the risks being identified as more important by women. But the thing is, what made me quite sad was that bi women were more likely to say that it wasn't important, their sexuality wasn't really important, while at the same time feeling a fear of judgment and a lack of understanding. And what the study was showing was that according the most important attribute for role models, which is like a hugely important thing for representation, was people who were confident and willing to be themselves. So I couldn't think of anything better than to have people who produced a musical about bisexuality, right, and a woman who's entirely based, who's on radio and who's been doing some fantastic writing about women empowerment in the metal scene, mm-hmm, which is, you know, one of the more hostile spaces I've heard of, to hear and to provide that representation. So
totally. And I mean, people generally, I mean, if you can get a full-time job these days, but people tend to spend more time at work than anywhere else in the world, absolutely, which has become such an unsafe place for bi women. Yeah. According to this research.
Well, yeah, and I just think it shows reflections. Like, we looked at the Triple J results for Where Are They Now surveys, and it showed that, you know, 40% of bi men were out compared to 80% of gay men, and 46% of bi women were out compared to 86% of gay women. Right. So that I think it kind of just reflects that there just really is, which is, you know, why it's so important to have a day where we can celebrate ourselves.
Totally, and it totally makes sense why we don't come out. And particularly why women...
Over and over and over again.
Right, totally, because this is the experience.
Yeah, but also I think, on speaking of representation though, apparently casting is underway for Australia's very first bisexual bachelorette series.
Yes.
Due to come to screens next year. Now, Fiona...
The bis are back.
We're back. We've got our own show. Now, Fiona Faulkner is said to be the front runner to be the first bi bachelorette, though apparently they did talk to our friend Megan Marks, who've had on the show before. But I suppose there were some interesting conflicting opinions around this, because an article by the radio station Nova said, like, segregation is the antithesis of equality. Why do we still have to explain this? This idea of why does there have to be a separate show for bisexual bachelorettes? And will there be bisexual bachelors? Because, you know, is that something that we're ready to deal with yet? Or do people just want to see pretty girls kissing on screen?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
So it's interesting because I was like, oh, I was really excited. Then I was like, oh, but also, what if all the contestants just end up making out? Mm-hmm. Like, just together.
Well, the decision-making to getting this show on the air is really interesting around the way bi people, particularly bi women, are fetishized and how we're viewed. I mean, what were some of the terms in this study? Promiscuous and greedy and attention-seeking.
Are those some themes that come up in your songs, ladies?
Absolutely. We'll actually be performing a song for you on air later on in the show, which is all about that filthy little phrase of you're doing it for attention. Uh-huh. It's something that is just so present in the conversation.
Yeah,
sadly.
all of my first kisses were definitely hidden under the guise of, oh, there's boys watching, so we should do this. And then one day I looked around and was like, I don't think there's boys watching anymore. But it definitely all started under the guise of someone else was giving us attention, and that's why we were doing it. Mm. And I think that still pervades as you get older. That still like holds true in your heart.
It was a good cover.
Yeah.
do you think? I think that's interesting because why do men like watching women kiss?
I don't know. We're pretty gorgeous.
Amen. But I think that's also to look at this idea of like, you know, kind of. This is a big conversation. We've got to go to an ad in a few minutes. But, you know, it's that idea of basically managing to make women's sexuality digestible.
Yes.
And, you know, for men. And so that idea of even if you are enjoying it, it's actually for them, and that's the only way they're comfortable in that expression, which is, well, I think, why they the bi bachelorette, as much as I think it's exciting and I think it's great that these women are providing representation, I'm just...
It perpetuates what's appealing to the male gaze.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, you know, that being said, kissing girls is great.
Well, yes, there's that, you know.
Yeah. So, and Mia, so I'm really curious to talk about how, was it, like, your experience as a radio host and, like, knowing how to have a good conversation, and if it was a science, like, are there mathematic equations? Because as an autistic person, I want them. I want the formula.
Well, okay, Ruby, I have very good news for you.
Yes.
There are formulas.
Yes. so
my show, speaking of which, The Science of Conversation, mm-hmm. Was initially inspired by a book I discovered by a linguist in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
The name of this linguist is Nick Enfield, and he has been doing this incredible research around the words and ah.
Okay.
So the words up and ah, they're like terrible words to use on radio. You're not allowed to use them.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, they're really vital words in our conversation. Because what they're doing is they're signalling to the other speaker that you're about to respond. You just need more time to formulate your response. Because the window of time in which we expect another person to respond is around 200 milliseconds, which is crazy fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you actually think about what the brain has to do in from the point at which the other speaker has completed their utterance and you have to digest everything they've said, you have to think about what you're going to say, the implications of what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, and that's all going to come out of your face. This is a lot. So if you want to indicate, and you should indicate if you want to have a successful conversation to somebody, that you are going to respond, you use a filler word. So when you come out with you're like, you say, Ruby, you ask me a question, and I'm like, oh crap, I don't know what to say yet.
Yeah.
I'll go and just buy myself another 200 milliseconds or whatever.
So
I need.
It's like a placeholder.
It's a placeholder.
It's like, no, don't move on yet.
I'm still thinking.
Yeah.
So that's a conscientious thing to do then. Is that what you're saying? You're letting the other person know, I'm with
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. And that is actually what underpins his argument, is that there is a moral obligation in a conversation. This is what we're entering into a moral contract, which is why there are all these codes and conventions to assure the other person that you're speaking to that you're with them in this. You're doing this together, and you are holding the other person accountable, and you accept that you will be held accountable. So say, for example, if you're saying goodbye to somebody, there's a formula for this, Ruby. You'll be thrilled.
Yes, I've got my pen
right. So the formula for saying goodbye goes content, summary, statement, justification, positive statement, continuity, and well-wishing.
I'll get the slides.
Come to the show. Content summary statement might be like, I had such a good time talking on Triple Bypass with all you cool people tonight. My justification for leaving might be, well, my ride's here, I've got to get going, they're waiting. My positive statement might be, I really liked meeting you guys. And continuity would be like, I'm going to see you at the picnic. And well-wishing would be, have an amazing time tonight and hope you sleep well. So if you do all these things when you're saying goodbye, you've totally fulfilled your moral obligations to that person. And if you kind of, if we just finished this show when I just walked out of the building,
you'd be pretty surprised.
You would feel like I wanted to terminate the relationship, and which is why we need to terminate conversations according to these rules.
This is really interesting because one of the things that often gets talked about in neurodiverse spaces is how we don't get access to the rule book. And so we don't know those rules. So we do things that someone's like, oh, well, you've just said to me you don't want to be friends anymore. I'm like, no, that's not what I did.
I'm really examining some of my... there's good days and bad days, right?
And this is a comedy, right? I'm going to ask how that works. Just in one second, we do have to go to community announcement. But speaking of being there with the conversation, please join the conversation on 0427JOY949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. This is Triple Bypass and you're on... Cosmic Blues by Janis Joplin. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9, the show for the bees, also the pans, the polysexuals, the queers, the omnisexuals, and everyone who wants to hang out with us because we're pretty cool.
We're inclusive.
We're so inclusive. Yeah. No gatekeeping allowed. I mean, that's not... I'm excluding gatekeepers. That's it.
No, they're allowed to come. They just can't gatekeep while they're here.
Exactly. Like, yes. You can come in through the gate. Just don't stay in. My name's Ruby.
And I'm Anthony.
We are very excited to have a special showcase of bis who are performing at the Fringe Festival, yay, including two members from the show from, is it Flesh Coloured Panties, the name of your theatre group?
Yeah, yes. Flesh Coloured Panties Productions.
I hate the word panties, but I love that name.
That's why we love having it in the title.
It just makes... You just see everyone wince.
Oh, yeah.
The word moist in anything. We're also joined by Amir Timpano, who is doing a show, the speaking of which, The Science of Conversation. And just before that song, which was one of your choices, Mia, we were having a incredible conversation around conversations and the way that there are subconscious moral contracts and how we can fulfill them, which I am all about. Now, if you've just heard that now, you're like, oh, that sounds great. Don't worry. The podcast will be up by the end of the week and you can find that at joy.org.au/triplebypass or on iTunes. Tell your friends. So we always ask our guests to bring in some songs. Now, Janis Joplin was bi, which is very, very cool. Didn't only find that out like 6 months ago. Told my dad, ran screaming, happened a lot. So, but Cosmic, can you ask me, Cosmic, you actually, both of you, well, all three of you picked Janis Joplin songs, which I thought was some lovely bi synergy happening there. Now, why Cosmic Blues?
Well, I love pretty much every Janis Joplin song, but I remember discovering this song while I was wandering around, just listening to just like the next related Janis Joplin song on my phone while wandering the aisles of Priceline. And I just had a moment where I was totally taken over by the song and I was staring at some moisturizer and just stared at it for like 4 minutes because I was so transfixed and I was like, she wrote this song for me. Yeah. And everything about it, the instrumentation and her voice, and there is a... It's the energy in her voice. It's like you feel like you are her while she's singing. She's so honest in the way she communicates, and I just think she's a beautiful soul.
Touché.
Yes. So we did just get some messages in. If you want to join the conversation, of course, jump on. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au. You can message us on 0427 Joy 949. You can also find us on Twitter at Triple Bypass with an I. You can find us on Instagram at Triple Bypass Joy. I'm slowly learning how to use it. It's great. And you can also find us on Facebook at Triple Bypass on Joy. Now we've had another one. Sorry.
So there's no excuses for getting involved in the show.
Yeah, so
lots of options.
Can I hear more about the Flesh Coloured Panty Show, if possible? That's the name of their theatre company. The show is called Baby Bye Bye Bye.
Thank you, Anonymous.
The next one someone was saying Baby Bye 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 is honestly the best cabaret for people who don't usually watch cabaret. Oh. The songs are so on point and Erin, Sam and Annabelle have such a charismatic performance. I found your show from a poster at my uni and I'm so glad I went to your performance at Chapel of Chapel. So excited.
Oh, thank you, Anonymous, again.
And, these are actually some good questions. Looking forward to seeing Baby Bye 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 in Sydney in October. Already brought tickets for a bi friend and myself.
Ooh,
and
thank you,
someone's
Sarah.
Asking, when are both of your shows on? This is actually really interesting because I know your first performance meeting is actually sold out.
Yes.
So, kudos.
Thanks.
Amazing.
It's 100% friends and family, but it's still sold out.
Amazing. So Baby Bye Bye Bye, we open in a week. We open on Monday the 17th, 8:30 p.m. and we are on every night that week in that 8:30 p.m. time slot at the Butterfly Club.
So your final performance is on Celebrate Bisexuality Day.
It absolutely is, and we are so jazzed about that.
And speaking of which, is playing at Kaz Rytop's Dirty Secrets, which is on Smith Street, really close to Gertrude Street. So if you take the 86 tram, it is very convenient. And tickets are available in September for Sunday the 16th, Thursday the 20th, and Sunday the 23rd, and Thursday the 27th.
So it's you've got more of a ongoing 2 days a week schedule thing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So is that bi-weekly?
Bi-weekly. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry. It is. I can't help it. No, I just can. We're going to be right back after this break, and we're actually going to be kicking off with a live performance, which I am very excited about. Now, do you want to tell us about the song, or do you want it to be a surprise, girls?
I think we'll let it be a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, you'll find out.
Oh, my gosh, I'm very into that. Well, we're going to go to a song, which is The Opener by Camp Cope. Now, I think a bit of a warning for this one. There is some strong language, but it's after 9, so that should really be okay at this point. You're listening to Bypass on Joy 94.9. Stay tuned. This is Joy 94.9. You've tuned into Triple Bypass, the show for the bisexuals, pansexuals, polysexuals, everyone who loves everyone. That was Camp Cope's The Opener, and we now have a very special live performance of one of the songs from Baby Bye Bye Bye, the bisexual cabaret show opening at the Butterfly Club on Monday. Take it away.
So this number goes out to all those bis out there who have heard this lovely phrase.
I'm pretty sure you're, like, just doing it for attention.
Am I bi, or do I just like attention? I think it's about time to mention
44 other things that you could do to get people to notice you. You could jump, shout,
clap your hands,
break the world record for eating Spam,
pick a food you hate, bitch and moan,
set Kesha's TikTok as your ringtone. Wear something bright.
Hey, even shiny.
Go around talking real old-timey, m'lady.
Wear a backwards Legionnaire's cap.
Get your nails done.
But sit on their lap.
Things to do besides who you screw to get people to notice you. Cause who are you? Who are you? If eyes aren't on you, here's what to do. Walk backwards down Swanston Street.
Pick things up
with your feet.
Pay your rent in silver chains.
Yell classic Melbourne when it starts to rain.
Whistle.
Moonwalk.
Do karaoke.
Give all your mates a little pokey. Tap dance at a party when nobody asked.
In gridlock traffic, do a parallel park when you need to sneeze.
Achoo.
Decline that tissue.
Mention animal extinction, it's a really big issue. Speak to Dr. Seuss when ordering a coffee.
A soy for me, a soy I see. I like your beans, but beans aren't free.
It's, still $3.50.
But just my luck, I have a keep cup. Will I save a buck if I fill my keep cup?
Besides who you screw to get people to notice you. Because who are you? Who are you? If eyes aren't on you, here's what to do.
It's 3 a.m. and you're all alone.
Surcharge rising and you can't get home.
False lashes falling into your popcorn chicken.
Just lie down on the curb and scream out, I miss you, Stephen.
Because we get it.
You literally can't even.
Oh, you could dye your ears.
Pierce your hair. Struggle World Vision ads saying it's just not fair. Go up to strangers, give them wet willies. Go to a funeral announcing, these are lilies that I brought for the death of your hamster. I brought these lilies for the death of your hamster, yeah.
They're daisies.
No, they're not. Things to do besides who you screw to get people to notice you. Because who are you? Who are you? If eyes aren't on you, we got your boo. Flash, snort, cry, smoke, gloat, pinch, slap, stroke, busk, preach, stare, click, groan, sigh, splash, flick.
This is a real list of things people do.
But who they love, they'd never, 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 never use.
But
don't get us wrong, we like attention too. In fact, this is a list we're getting through. Nobody wants to be seen as bland. That's why we keep this list on hand.
Thank you.
That was brilliant. That was inspiring.
Oh. And quite a list.
Quite a list.
Quite a list. Everyone loves a list song.
Oh, well, yeah, especially when it is so relatable.
So if you want to catch more of that, get to the Butterfly Club starting Monday the 17th of September. Baby, bye, 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 the cabaret.
Yes, and we actually have a promo code that we can offer everyone listening right now. So if you book before 5 p.m. on Wednesday, you can get $27 tickets to our opening night, which is Monday the 17th. And the code word for that is opening.
An inspired code word. Right.
Now, the Butterfly Club was where we saw Bicycle, and they had this cocktail called Shaken Both Ways, and I'm really hoping it makes a re-emergence for this show.
Right. We will be talking to them about that immediately. That's amazing.
Was it tasty? It was delicious. I had more than one.
So lots of things in that song that bi people can relate to.
Well, I mean, everyone can relate to, but I think, like, that what, you know, especially the Melbourne, oh my God, so Melbourne, yes. But the idea of people suggesting that coming out is something we do for attention is really interesting because I think we were talking off air about experiences or same experiences that we might have been doing for attention, but not necessarily then saying I'm bisexual. That wasn't the part. That was the attention seeking.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And I think there's a lot of those experiences as well, like not just people saying, oh, you're doing it for attention, but we also approached issues about moments of lighter things, you know, seeing someone and coming to terms with your sexuality, not understanding if you are envious of a woman or attracted to a woman.
What's that song called?
Do I want to be you or do I want to fuck you?
The struggle is real.
The struggle is very real.
Oh, very, very real.
But those questions that I guess by people ask themselves, we don't have we don't have access to the same sorts of ideas and literature and representation as the L's and the G's and other people do. So it makes sense that it would be confusing for bi people.
Yeah, and the literature is there. It's just that, you know, you have to feel that your sexuality is something that is worthy of literature and that you're interested in it enough to go and seek that out. And I think, as we were talking in the beginning of the show with the news, a lot bi people are much more likely to feel like our sexuality is not that important. And,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's got to do with who we love. What's more important?
Well, that's what I found. It took me a very long time to come out, and I think I spent a lot of my youth saying, it's not important, and when I date someone, then you know, it'll be worthy of coming out. But I think as I got older, I realised sexuality was important, not based on who your partner was, but because it was something that you were. And so I think that took a while to come to terms with.
Yeah.
And, Belle, you actually have one of my favourite coming out stories.
Yes. So it's very, very recent, as in Cabaret Fest, our first performance of Baby Bye Bye Bye. I sort of just thought the quickest way to do it was invite my family along. And, you know, the whole opening song just is, I'm bi, I'm bi, I'm bi, I'm bi, by the way, I'm bi. So that's how they all found out.
It's easier than getting around each one individually.
Well, that's what I thought. I know I put out an ad and was like, guys, this is a show I'm in. It's about bisexuality. By the way, I am in the show and I am bi. And it, you know, covered everyone really fast.
I love it. I love it.
That's brilliant. Oh, we got another message in, which was, that song was amazing. I'm definitely coming to see the show. Thanks, girls.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you there.
If you want to join in, it's 0427JOY949 or email us on air at joy.org.au. You can also catch Mia's show, which is at Kaz Rytop's Dirty Secrets, is that right?
That is the name of the venue, which I'm very proud of.
I was gonna say, that is an incredible name for a venue. Did you pick it? Like, I want the venue with that name. That's it. That's
It was definitely a factor in its favour. Also, the room that we're performing in, because it's not just me. I also have a sidekick.
Because I did see the imagery, and it was you having a conversation with multiple versions of yourself, which I loved, by the way.
Yes. But I have a helper on the night as well. I couldn't actually duplicate myself for the purposes of the show, as we did in the photography. But one of the appealing aspects of the venue is that it's nice and small, and it's got bluestone all around and downstairs. So it's like this little dungeon in a castle, which is just like, for me, the ultimate venue. But really, it's very cozy as well, which is ideal because the structure of the show is actually as a support group. So it's a conversation support meeting.
Love it.
Oh, so a lot of audience participation?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. You can nominate to be mute, and you don't have to participate, but there will be opportunities for Chatty Cathy's to participate should you want to.
I mean, I hate talking. That's why I'm on radio.
Is that risky when, you know, do you, or, I mean, I'm sure that there's, I mean, it's set up in a particular way to handle whatever responses in certain ways, but to having other people sort of participate in the show in a way where you're not sure what they'll say?
I'm kind of can't wait for that, Anthony.
Oh.
Like, because so far, like, we've been just working from a script, and I can't wait for actual humans to make the energy their own and the space their own. Otherwise, why do a live show? Because you're kind of vibing off what's happening in the room at the time, and that's like the magical thing that, you know, that's the memory that you get to keep forever and is exclusive to you. It's like every live show, it's like, you know, you were there for that special moment, and you shared it with those people. For me as the performer, I really want people to make the energy of that particular night of the show unique and bring their particular conversation observations to the night should they wish to share. But if you are not someone who likes doing that, then you are so 100% safe from me. I am not going to call upon you to do a role play. It's fine.
Well, it sounds exciting.
And I think it's really great you did stress that, because I know that can be really intimidating for a lot of people.
Oh, it's panic inducing. Yeah, totally. Especially, it's like, you've been at work all day. You don't want to be, like, you know, part of a some random show. You just want to enjoy it.
So that's speaking of which, the science of conversation and baby bye bye bye. Now I want to ask, I'm going to have to go to two quick community announcements, and then I would love to hear about where these two shows, the ideas came from, because yes, you know, Mia, you've been researching this for ages, and you mentioned it came from hearing this person talk, but I'd love to know how that moved on to, I'm going to do a comedy routine. Okay. And I would love to hear how the three of you all met and decided to do a show about bisexuality, to get a slightly different angle on that same conversation. I mean, if you want to hear the other one, I did post it up on the Facebook group, so you can listen to the previous interview with the wonderful trio before. It's just, I'm very excited. I can't just see the show. Anyway, we'll be right back after these short messages. I've always wanted to say that. This is Triple Bypass and you're on Joy. This is Joy 94.9 and you've tuned in to Triple Bypass. My name's Ruby.
I'm Anthony.
Yep.
I'm Erin.
I'm Belle.
And I'm Mia.
Yes, we have a full house. It is very exciting. There are it's a beehive.
We're in the beehive.
We're in the beehive. Oh, it's very exciting.
We're buzzing.
And it is, I think, we were talking before, so the Melbourne Bisexual Network and Bisexual Alliance of Victoria are hosting a picnic for Bi-Visibility Day or International Celebrate Bisexuality Day, which is on the 23rd of September, also the closing night of your shows. And do you have a show that night as well, Mia?
Yes, the 23rd.
Yep.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God, you're going to be so visible. Wow. That's so wonderful.
Totally.
Such as, yeah, that's so cool.
Two possible fantastic post-picnic activities.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. We'll grab some flyers to hand out. But, yeah, so the picnic is at, Anthony, James and myself will be hosting this picnic to help us all come together as a, in a community. So you can bring your own food and drink. It's family friendly at the Treasury Gardens from 1 onwards.
And if you got bi-colours, bring them along.
If you've got pan-colours, bring those too.
Yes.
And poly-colours, which actually, luckily, there is an ongoing theme of blue and pink, and then you just get to choose if you want to have purple or yellow or green or white.
Yes, we might have maybe face painting, I don't know, something.
Don't make promises that I have to keep. I'm your president, listen to me. earlier in the show, we heard one of the songs that will be is part of Baby Bye Bye Bye. We also heard one of the conversations from Mia as to how her show took place. Now, it's all very exciting. If you've just tuned in now and you want to hear more about that, you can find the podcast in the next week by Lou, our brilliant podcaster, and that'll be at joy.org.au/triplebypass or on iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review. Now, I really wanted to know, how did Sam, Erin and Annabelle all come together and decide, well, let's do a show about bisexuality?
So, Erin and I both did the acting course at the Victorian College of the Arts, and Sam was in our year doing the music course. So, we were all friends just from, you know, going to parties and that kind of thing at uni. And Erin and I were chatting about bisexuality. Long, extensive chats over many, many a wine. And, you know, obviously we thought we'd put it on stage the way we know how. We're talking about how we never saw, you know, TV characters or theatre characters. So, we were like, let's put it on ourselves.
Yeah, and then so we had all those conversations, and then we basically just cornered Sam at a party one night and were like, do you want to write a cabaret with us? Like, all best partnerships, it started mildly drunk and at university.
Erin, I have a question. So with a cabaret, how is that different? Like, what makes a cabaret?
Yeah, definitely. So the things that make cabaret specifically its beautiful form is the inclusion of music, storytelling, and there is zero fourth wall. So we talk and interact directly with our audience, although no audience interaction, you are also saying. But yeah, so it's all about having that direct conversation and being yourself as well. There's very little characterization in cabaret. So we are truly ourselves, heightened versions at times.
I love that.
But it's all autobiographical.
I feel like when I'm performing, like when I have a microphone, the same is true, also true of writing. I am a much truer version of myself than I am when I'm just generally circulating in society. It's true. And I've told people that, and they're like, oh, it's a bit sad that you can't be yourself. And it's like, well, I find these spaces in which I can be myself, and I don't know what it is about having a microphone or being on stage or having a blank screen and claiming it for myself that makes me feel like I'm in charge, but it has that effect.
But you are.
It's incredibly freeing.
Yeah, there's no, you're not waiting on a response and you're not going to be hearing from someone. Maybe that's how I feel it when I write. It's just like sense of like, you can't, There's nothing, you can't interrupt me.
No, that's right. You can't, like, you can't water me down, or I'm not mm-hmm. establishing myself in relation to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can, I can fully unleash myself without any kind of consideration of what you might need from me in this moment.
Mm. Yeah.
And I find on stage I am much more myself when I have a follow spot, so.
That's great.
I mean, there's something lovely about the way, you know, the things that, you know, you're able to communicate when you're in that space. And, you know, it sounds like, and it's the experience that I had when I watched the Baby Bye Bye Cabaret show, that there was the content was just so relatable, that when you can identify with the thing that's being presented, you can see yourself in it. You relate on a very personal level.
Mm. It's really important to have that, yeah. I think, that there's that sense of, because, you know, you guys are all talking together about how you hadn't seen those things before, but you could hear them with each other. And I know that for something Anthony and I have talked about and touched on with pretty much every guest that's come through, is that until you really see yourself in somebody else, you know, a lot of it can get internalized. You can feel like there's something wrong, as opposed to, or you can feel like that you'll never be able to be happy or to have happy things because you don't see it.
Right. Or it's like, you know, and it's a bit crazy making because you're like, Is this even a thing?
Is this real?
Yeah. Is this real?
Am I being too sensitive?
Mm. Oh my god! Yeah. This is like 90% of my internal conversation.
Yeah. And that's very much it. And so I think hearing that in musical form is fantastic. And I think as well, a lot of people have had conversations where they're just like, I don't know why that didn't work, or why do I feel bad after this, or what happened. So I think that actually someone saying no, here is why, here is what you can do, that it's due to moral contracts and social contracts and social pressures, because those things that exist. But I think, it's, you know, having all of those things explained, when you hear words from somebody else, they make them, you know, you can make them your own in ways that are still very self-expressive. I need to ask one quick question. Erin, this show called Unicorn Dick, can we talk about that?
Oh my gosh, yes. That's it's a Masters of Directing project that's going up at VCA in October.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 16th and 17th. And it's it's by a playwright, Fiona Spitz. It's about
Spitzowski,
yes. I call her Spitz because I'm awful at pronouncing names. Really bad at them. But it's about essentially a sexual assault survivor, and in the aftermath of her sexual assault, upon learning that glitter is one of the best forms of forensic evidence, starts having a very weird relationship with her body and glitter. And there's a subtext of glitter as a microplastic, and it all comes back to the fact that she was always told she would find her unicorn, the person who is meant to take her away from her life and make things better, and her unicorn is the one that assaulted her. So, and then unicorns and glitter going hand in hand. It's a great piece, yeah.
Wow. That wasn't quite what I was expecting, though.
Yeah.
That sounds really interesting. I was thinking, because of the term unicorn is one that's kind of, you know, unicorn hunting. So the unicorn hunting being that phrase for couples that go looking for a bisexual woman to have threesomes with them, occur everywhere. So it's just like, and unicorns being the very rare bisexual women who are cool and down for that. So, it's really interesting to know about that stuff with glitter. That's really cool. So that's coming in October?
Yeah, that's up in October. You'll find information on that at VCA's website,
cool.
I believe. Yeah.
The other reason I brought that up was because we were talking about representation, and one of the things, and this is a joke I've made on air before, so dear listeners, I'm so sorry, but it's really funny. What's the difference between a unicorn and a bisexual?
What?
You'll see a unicorn on television, not a horse that doesn't like labels.
Yes. Good, Ruby.
Thank you. I try. Bad puns and finger guns.
We had the lovely Amelia text in as well, who said, Ruby, I'll bring the face paint. So there you go.
And that's for the
bisexuals deliver.
Oh, we do. And I think it's really... So since you've done that, how's the response to the cabaret been?
It's been so overwhelming. It's been amazing. Particularly, I found, because I'm from quite a conservative area of Sydney, my friends and family that have seen it, the amount of conversation it's opened up. And I wasn't aware of how much they just didn't understand because they hadn't had exposure to it. So hearing my brothers and their friends all discussing sexuality and gender, was one of, they were at a table near me at a pub and I just overheard them, and it was as a result of the show. So the fact that it's starting conversations outside of our social circle or outside of people that are normally exposed to it was amazing. Yeah.
And it's been great as well, because you mentioned earlier that specifically with this bisexual community, you find time and time again that if there's content to be found, the bis will find it. And we've been at like Thursday at Yaya's. Classic. Yeah. And we've, like, Sam and I have had people come up to us and just be like, "You're from Baby, bye bye bye." And we have people sending us Facebook messages and commenting on our posts and tagging people that we have zero mutual friends with. Because if the content is out there, people are hungry for it. That representation and that story just isn't being told.
So. I was really glad to hear it was coming back, because I was very sorry to miss it. And so this is your debut for your show,
Mia. Yeah, it is.
So, Ben, this has been something you've been working on, you said, for a year.
Not quite a year, but the better part of a year. Yeah.
Can I ask, what would you like people to take away from it?
Well, what I find kind of wondrous is the fact that there is a universal infrastructure that supports social interaction in all human languages. The fact that humans are the only species that have conversations, and that we all do it actually quite naturally. We can learn the rules, but in fact, you're doing it without ever being explicitly taught the rules. It will be fun if you come to the show and you hear all about the rules, but we're all able to do this dance, and we all do this dance every day. I feel dreadful when I get the dance wrong. And part of the show is me forgiving myself for failed conversations. And hopefully through expressing myself honestly in that way, you'll realize how someone in my position, who in some respects I'm a professional conversationalist, I have interviews, or I conduct interviews my capacity as a journalist, and the fact that I should feel such concern over the quality of my conversations should hopefully make you feel some sense of perspective in that people with varying degrees of, you know, professional success in their ability to have conversations can feel so, can experience such profound anxiety around that.
So there's some more relatability.
Right.
Total relatability.
Is it empathy as well? Like, because you're absorbing the incoming information from the person you're talking to, and then you're noticing how they're experiencing you. I'm just wondering if sort of there's some sort of empathy being expressed in all of this as well.
Yeah, I think I'm actually, I'm a very empathetic person, yeah. And I think that relating is a crucial element is a crucial aspect of conversation. If you're not relating to what's being said, the conversation actually can't progress.
Uh-huh. I would be very anxious if you came to one of my family dinners. I come from a very loud Greek family, and I'm just guessing that we break a lot of rules.
I think that's a little weird as well, because I'd be curious to see that different groups would have different rules, and it could be like you communicate things in a different...
I come from an Italian family, so...
You can't even claim that, Ant.
This is where the establishment of empathy...
I think we follow the same rules at a very different volume.
I love this. Now, we do have to wrap up. We've got Jason with Local Groats coming up next, and they're doing a live show, which is very exciting. They're just copying us, though. It happens. No, they do music all the time, every week. Now, we're back next week, a Tuesday at 9 p.m. So don't forget to check out Science. I'm just so excited. Baby Bye Bye Bye, which opens at the Butterfly Club on Monday. And also
speaking of which,
the science of conversation. I see, I've got the science in my brain now. I was thinking science of conversation, science, and that is opening on Thursday. But you can't go because it's sold out. But you can go on Sunday,
and you can buy tickets for Speaking of Which and Baby Bye 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 at melbournefringe.com.au.
Also, because I linked both the pages on our Facebook.
And don't forget, lovely listeners, it is Bi Visibility Month. Don't forget Bi Visibility Day on the 23rd of September.
Stay tuned. Stay for local roots. We'll see you next week. Have a great Bi-Visible month. This is Joy.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.